Bibles tonight, I want you to turn with me to the book of Jude. The book of Jude, just before the book of the Revelation. Everybody there? Amen. I heard a statistic the other day on TV, and it really was a troubling thing, and it led my thoughts to the book of Jude. And the message tonight, I guess, stemmed from what I heard. I heard that just a few years back, in the United States of America, there was at least 90% of the people that profess Christianity to be their religion. And today, it's dropped down to 64%. Something ain't working. And I'm afraid it might be we as Christians. Let that soak in a little bit. We've fallen in love with the world, and we forgot about lost sinners. And so we need to think about what Jude had to say to our generation. What Jude had to say in 25 short verses has carried down from one generation of Christians to the next, down through the ages. And it's just as relevant today in which we live as it was 2,000 years ago, some 2,000 when it was written. And so let's listen to what Jude has to say right here in this message that he gives us. Verse 1 says, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called, mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. We need some mercy in the day that we live, don't we? We need peace in this troubled world that we live in. And grace and love, the things that we need. He says, I'm praying it'll be multiplied on your behalf because of the perilous things that's going on in the world. He said, Beloved, I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation. It was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation. Ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. We'll stop reading right there, but we're going to cover a lot of this chapter right here in the Bible. Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for overshadowing us, Lord, and letting us see another day, God, to be back in your house, Lord. God, I thank you for each one that's gathered here tonight, Lord. I pray the Word of God would go out, Lord. I ask you, God, for Holy Ghost unction, Lord. God, I pray you'd put a watch over my lips, God, that I wouldn't say anything that'd be unpleasing to you, God. But I ask you to help me, Lord, to deliver the thoughts, God, that you've laid upon my heart. God, I give you glory and praise, God, for all you do for us, we pray in Jesus' name. These 25 verses deliver an urgent and yet an intense message for every true Christian. As I said a while ago, from one generation down to the next through the ages, it's a warning to us. It's a warning against heretics, against apostates, against false teachers. And as Jude says it, ungodly men. And they'll take their place in religion in the world today. In the name of religion, they'll teach people a lie, and they'll be damned with them altogether. And so we as Baptists, we as people of Liberty Baptist Church right here, there's a charge that's going out to you and I. We better watch out for these people. The devil is sly. The Bible says he's disguised himself is an angel of light. The devil is not some character out here that is waiting on you outside these doors. He'll come in and join your church. He wants to take over. And he's done a good job of it in this world today. There's a lot of churches today. I say there's a lot of buildings with a steeple on top with a devil in the pulpit. Strong words, but it's true. Jesus, there's one Lord. There's one faith. There's one baptism. There's one God and Father of all. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's one way to heaven. It's through the Lord Jesus Christ and through the shed blood of Calvary's cross. Any other way is heresy. Heresy. Me and Sheila, a few weeks ago up in Bremen Walmart, I do go to Walmart, we met a couple of young boys. They were Mormons trying to work their way to heaven, to work their way to an approval. And we tried to witness to them, and I hope something we said to them stuck. We tried to point them to Christ. And I told them, I said, Jesus told a real religious man one day by the name of Nicodemus, you must be born again or you'll not see the kingdom of heaven. And those words will get the job done. The words of Christ. But now, I want you to notice some things right here in this message tonight. In verse number 3, he says, Beloved, I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation. It was needful for me to write unto you. It was needful. I want to preach tonight on the message we need to heed. A needed message. Jude said it was needful for me to write this message unto you and to the church of our day. It's relevant. The message, I want you to notice our roots, our remembrance, our resources, and our responsibility. Our roots. You notice in verse number 1, Jude said, I'm the servant of Jesus Christ, brother of James. Now, tradition in the Bible proves it, I believe, over in the book of St. Matthew, that Jude was the brother of Christ. But he declares himself right here not just to be a brother to the Lord Jesus Christ, but to be a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I'm a bond slave to the Lord Jesus Christ and to the work of Christ. And so are we today. We ought to look at ourselves as we've been bought with a price. We no longer belong to ourselves. We belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're supposed to be a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. It ought to be our heart's desire to serve Him because He served us on Calvary's cross, took our sins away, give us a chance at life. Thanks be to Him for what He's done for me and what He's done for you. But our roots right here, He says this message is to the beloved. The beloved. He wasn't preaching this message to the world. He was preaching this message to the church. To the blood-bought, born-again, children of God. Our roots, we all go, our heritage, our kindred, our background. We have the same background. As he was a brother to Christ, we've been adopted in, Brother Tim. We're a child of the King tonight, through the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm glad we got roots that run deep. Family. I'm a part of the family of God. Ain't that amazing? I used to run with the worst people of the world. The devil had me in bonds and chains. Jesus set me free one day. And he adopted me into the family of God. I'm a child, as they were singing a while ago, I'm a child of the King. A child of the King. Not by works of righteousness that I've done, but because of the works of the Lord Jesus Christ done on Calvary's cross. And he come to me one day by the way of the Holy Ghost, convicted me of my sin, drawn me to a place of repentance by cords of love. He saved my wretched soul from a devil's hell. Oh, I'm glad to be serving him today. I served the devil long enough, but I'm serving the Lord Jesus Christ today. And I'm his and he's mine forever. I'm glad my roots, I've got roots of the family of God today. I'm rooted. And the roots of our faith today. Faith. He speaks about being defenders of the faith right here. the faith that was once delivered to the saints. You think about faith. The Bible tells me that God has given to every man a measure of faith. It's up to that person to do, you know, with that faith, to either let it be applied in the life or to reject it and go the way of the world. But faith that was once delivered to the saints, Jesus chose men when He started His ministry in this world. He chose men and He taught them. And he taught them to pray. He taught them the Word of God and the things of God. And they grew in faith, Brother Lee. They grew in faith and they followed Christ. And even when Christ was crucified, buried, and resurrected, they saw the resurrected Lord. They were the apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ, along with the Apostle Paul later on. These men, we can credit these men for delivering the faith down through generation and generation through the Word of God. They were so faithful that they gave their lives. They delivered the faith. They defended the faith. And they died in the faith and for the faith. It's our time. It's our time to take a stand. In this world today, when faith seems to be under attack and faith seems to be dwindling, in our country today, it's time for Christians to defend the faith, stand up for the faith. Let folks know whose side we on. Amen. Quit courting the world and be a Christian. Amen. I preached a message one time in here out of the book of James, where he said, "You adulterers and adulteresses, know you not that friendship with the world is enmity with God?" And I preached a message on married to Christ, but in love with the world. And that's sort of where we're at today. We better wake up. This thing is dwindling down real fast. If we're going to do anything for God, if we got lost loved ones, we better be getting to them. We better be praying like we've never prayed before. We better be praying for our pastor. You know, the devil, he ain't going to sit back and let Liberty Baptist, be on fire for God. He's going to do everything he can to put the fire out. Amen. So we better wake up. Our roots, the roots of our family, the roots of our faith, but the roots of our fight. Notice right here, he said, contend for the faith. In other words, it's a fight. This ain't no cakewalk. It's a battle. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. Spiritual wickedness in high places. It's a fight. But we're rooted in this fight. This fight began way back in the book of Genesis. Well, even before that, when the devil rebelled, Lucifer rebelled against God, and he was cast out, and all the angels that followed him was cast out of heaven. And he's after everything God has today. He wants to defile, he wants to steal, kill, and to destroy. And this thing's a fight. If we're going to have a church, if we're going to be a church, we're going to have to fight for it. You see all them little kids that walked out of here a while ago? We're fighting for them. We got a faith to deliver to them. Amen. It's up to us as preachers, as teachers, as parents, as grandparents. Every one of us has got a job to do, and that is to fight. Fight for the faith that God has delivered to you and I through those that have gone before us. I thank God. Thank God for the men and the women that when I was growing up as a little child, When I was carried to church by my mom and dad, I remember, I can see it just as well in my mind today, them saints of God that had God on them and wasn't ashamed of Him. Stand up, testify, shout, walk the floor, wave their handkerchief. Brother Lee, they wasn't ashamed of their God. They was poor in this world's goods, but they had a God that was big and they was glad to get to the house of God and brag on Him. God done great things for them. You know, when they planted, most everybody was a farmer back in them days. They counted on God to give the increase. They knew where their help come from. And they was thankful for everything that God done for them. Amen. We are, listen, God's once blessed us beyond measure in the day that we live. We ought to be the most thankful people that's ever lived on the face of the earth. What God has done for us. Whoa, listen to me. I'm talking about our fight. Jude says we ought to earnestly contend for the faith. In other words, get prepared to fight. I don't know. Any of y'all like UFC fighting? Go ahead, men. I know the women don't like it, but I do. I even like that bare knuckle fighting. But, you know, these guys get in the cage and they got on just little old small, hardly padded gloves and they just beat each other to a pulp. Kicking, wrestling, choking, just whatever they can do, you know, that's legal to win. And but you know what? Anybody get in there, one of them would be stupid that hadn't been trained for it, wouldn't it? We'd be stupid to try to face off with the devil here if we hadn't been preparing for it. Amen. We need to get full of God's Word. We need to be faithful to God's church. We need to pray in the Holy Ghost. And we need to get on fire for God. And realize that we have an adversary that wants to consume us, that wants to destroy us. And Jude is trying to, he's trying to tell us right here that the devil will infiltrate the church. And he wants to destroy. But listen to this now. I want you to notice this about the Apostle Paul right here. He was an apostle. Look with me in 2 Timothy chapter number 4. 2 Timothy chapter number 4. Some of the last words of Paul right here. Paul said, I'm now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I've had a good time. For the cat of nine tails, being stoned and left for dead. But Paul come down to the end of the line, he said, I fought a good fight. He could tell you that this thing is a fight. If you're going to do something for God, you better be ready to fight the devil. So, Paul said this, verse number 10, For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Cretans to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia. Verse 14, Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works, of whom be thou ware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it might not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion, and the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Paul said this thing's a fight. Now, it's not gloom and doom. Let me tell you, you can come to the house of God sometimes, you can be low as the floor. And God will let you sit in some heavenly places. He'll lift you up. And you can leave the house of God saying it was glory. And joy unspeakable. God's able to do that for His children. He wants to do that for us. And we ought to come to the house of God to worship Him. Worship Him. Not just come to be a spectator. I'm talking about worship God. Pour your heart out to God. Get your heart right with God. And be thankful for what He's done for you. I'm talking about our roots. But our remembrance. Notice what he says right here in verse number 5. He said, I will therefore put you in remembrance. I'm glad we got a Bible. And I'm glad there's examples set forth in God's Word for us to look at and to learn from. He said, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. We better keep our faith strong. Don't fall backwards into unbelief. God's faithful. His word is true. It'll stand when this world is on fire, burn up. He said, the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. The devil's going to have his day. And all his demons, their days are numbered. Then, even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them, in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth as an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Now, you know there's a big culture change going on in our country and in the world as far as that goes. And it has a lot of similarities to Sodom and Gomorrah. And it's gone into the places of schoolhouses. You watch your news. I'm telling you the truth. They're trying to indoctrinate this junk, this abomination, this ungodliness into the minds of little children. And darkness has overtaken our land so much and in so many places today that kids don't know if they're even a boy or a girl. And the devil's having a heyday in our country today. And let me tell you, the faithful people of God are the ones that's holding this thing together right now. God's still wanting to save a few more. And when the last person gets saved, when that last seed is taken in glory, honey, we're out of here. We're going home. And so I want to be on the right side. I want to fight the good fight of faith while I have life and breath. Don't you? Amen. He gives examples of past judgment. He gives examples of present evils as we read on right there. I don't have time to cover all of it, but you read it when you get home. False teachers, past judgment, he judged them. The present time, he says, they're going to have their day one day too. All these people, woe unto them, verse 11, for they've gone in the way of Cain, religion works, ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward, the religion of money, and perished in the gainsaying of Korah, rebelling against Moses, rebelling against the man of God. They didn't like his message. They didn't like his method. And so they rebelled, and God caused the earth to swallow them up. Read your Bible over in the book of Numbers. But then there's the examples of past judgment, the evils of present time, but the execution of future judgment. Here's an amazing passage in your Bible right here. Verse number 14. Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lust, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words which have men's persons in admiration because of advantage. Future judgment. Can I tell you something? God's judgment is just. God's judgment is just. And God's judgment is sure. It's surely coming, just exactly like He said. He did in the past. And He's looking. The Bible says in Psalms 9, verse number 7, the Lord hath prepared His throne for judgment. He's ready. Are you ready? I mean, are you ready? Really ready to stand before a holy God and give an account for your life? I hope tonight everybody in the house is. Our roots, our remembrance, our resources. We'll move quickly now through the Word of God. In verse number 17, he says, Beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know, how many of you got a Bible? How many of you got a Bible in here tonight? You ought to thank God. You ought to thank God that you've got a copy of His Word. This ain't just a book. This book is alive. This is the living Word of Almighty God, penned down by holy men of God as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. It's a powerful book. Powerful. Nothing like it. Nothing like it. Men can write a lot of good books, but God wrote this book. Amen. It's quick, it's powerful, it's pure, it's true. There's been times in my life I've come to the house of God wounded. And God had a balm out of His Word for my wounds. There's been times I've come to the house of God weary, worn. God had a word of encouragement for me. And I can tell you tonight, whatever your need is, as you journey through life, God is faithful to be your help in time of trouble, in time of need, whatever it might be. I'm glad we got a God we can lean on. Ain't you? I'm glad we've got a God that we can call on. And His ears are open to the righteous. His eyes are on His children tonight. So we've got a holy word. We've got a holy faith. In verse number 20, he says, But ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith. We need to build our faith. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Ain't that true? The more you get into this Word right here, the more you study this Word right here, it'll build your faith. And Jude says it's a holy faith. Holy faith, a precious thing. Precious thing. To say I'm a child of God, to have my faith anchored in Christ. It's a holy thing. And thank God for it. Not only a holy word, a holy faith, but we've got a Holy Ghost. He says, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Praying in the Holy Ghost. There's a difference in praying. You can say a prayer and you can pray a prayer. And most of the time we say a prayer. There's been some times in my life that I prayed a prayer, Brother Lee. There's been some times when the Holy Ghost got on me so. And I got out and praying. When I got up, I didn't even know what I said. But God was all over me. And Jude says, keep yourselves. Keep praying. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Quit saying a prayer. Stop praying a prayer. Get burdened for the needs of yourself and for those around you. Pray for your grandchildren. Pray for your children. If time permits, pray for your children's children's children that you probably won't even see. Pray for that generation coming on. There's great need for praying in the day that we live. This old world's getting more and more wicked every day. We as Christians need to be praying in the Holy Ghost and ask God to put a fire down in our soul like we've never had before. A holy word, a holy faith, a Holy Ghost, a holy God, a holy Savior. Our resources, everything we need. is at our fingertips. But last of this, our responsibility, verse number 20, he says, build up yourself. Keep building up yourself. Verse 20, keep praying in the Holy Ghost. Verse 21, keep yourself in the love of God. Listen to me now. As I said a while ago, we're married to Christ, but in love with the world. Revelation chapter 2, the message to the church at Ephesus, you've left your first love. You've left your first love. Didn't say they wasn't saved, but they'd fallen out of love with the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, they were still going to church. They were churchy people. But they'd left their first love. Oh, that we could fall in love with the Lord Jesus Christ. We couldn't wait till the doors was open. We couldn't wait to get a hold of a songbook. We couldn't wait to hear the message of God. We just couldn't wait. If we really loved Him like He loves us. Verse 21. Notice this. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Keep looking unto Christ. We need Him. We need Him. Parents, you need Christ in your home, in your heart, in your life every day. We need the Lord Jesus. Keep looking unto Him. Verse 22. And others say with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments spotted by the flesh. That's 23. Verse 22, and of some have compassion, making a difference. Keep a compassion for lost sinners. Don't lose your burden for lost sinners. I see people every day don't give any thought to eternity. They're not raising their children in church. They're not getting them under preaching where they can get on the Holy Ghost conviction and get saved. They're too in love and too concerned with the things of this world. We ought to have a prayer time every day that God would bring to our mind lost people in our families, friends, neighbors, praying for them that God would save them before it's eternally too late. Because it'll be too late one day. Verse 24. Now unto Him that's able to keep you from falling, keep close to the Lord. Stay close to the Lord. Draw nigh to God and He'll draw nigh to you is what the Scripture says. And if we stray away from Him, we're headed for a fall. So the message we need to heed, I've delivered to you tonight what God's laid on my heart. From 90%, and I'm sure, you know, the people that say, well, I'm a Christian, there's probably few that's really born again. People like to be labeled a Christian. But Jesus said, straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leads to life, and few there be that find it. I'm glad I'm saved.